Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. I know we've been gone for a little bit. You have to excuse that. Dan, the man, has been under the weather. But, you know, Friday, I have a different co-host.
Start spreading the news.
So, P. Schomburg, Stu is here, and we can do the podcast. How you doing, Stu?
All right. Ready to go.
All right, well, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter. We're hoping by the end of the year we'll give ourselves a lot of leeway there, about 6 months to get it done. But I am out there at Burke Time, and as always, you can ship off whatever you'd like to ask Stu to me, and I will gladly forward it along. So here we go. All right. Well, I have to ask you right off the bat, were you as surprised by everybody else that Toronto won Game 1? Because it seems like most people are shocked.
I wasn't shocked because of the long layup that the Golden State had. I figured if Toronto were to steal one game, it would have to be Game 1. Number one, it is in Toronto. And two, they had to be off a week and a half. I think we talked about that last time. Wasn't it about 10 days before the last time they had played?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think I counted, and it was 11 days they were off. So, that was just one of those.
It was a typical one of those NBA game, as it turns out, that when Golden State made several runs but could never overcome the lead that Toronto had, and they won pretty handily. Here was 9 points. However, does anybody expect them to win Game 2? I certainly don't.
Well, you know, they have announced now that Kevin Durant won't be playing again. And, you know, it did look like at the end of the game, I originally turned it on, there were 8 minutes left. And I was like, well, I'm not going to sit through an hour of an NBA game here. So I turned it off and I came back and I caught it with about a minute and a half left. And, you know, Andre Iguodala looked like he got re-injured. So, you know, you've got to wonder if maybe – you know, the injuries are going to catch up with the Warriors here, and that gives the Raptors a shot?
It's conceivable, and I'm wondering if Durant is done for the season. You think he's actually going to come back for games 3 and 4?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, you're looking at a guy, you know, he deals with a lot of, you know, let's face it, he deals with a lot of BS. You know, because right now, I mean, everything has been, well, you know, they can win without him. They don't need him, you know, because he's going to be the biggest free agent on the market here as soon as these finals end. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, imagine if he comes back and they win 4 straight, he goes from being, you know, the chastised, well, however you want to describe him, whatever you want to call him, to the hero.
Yeah. And that would be something if that would happen. And I'm a layman when it comes to these injuries, but it doesn't appear to me that the injury seemed all that serious to me. What about you? It didn't seem one of these definite season-ending injuries. It was more of a strain than anything else. And you got to suck it up for the playoffs when that something like that happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely the wrong guy to ask on these things because I'm always baffled on, you know, the guys with the best trainers in the world and rehab equipment and facilities and all the stuff that comes with this, why it takes them so long to return is just completely baffling to me. So I don't get it. I mean, I get now you want to be safe with the guys because they make so much money. But, yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
No, nor I. And think back to this. That takes place a number of years ago. Do you think that any team now would have Willis Reed playing in the finals like the Knicks did when they won it many, many years ago? Because he was really seriously injured, and he gutted it out and played,
yeah.
And they wound up winning the title. And nobody, not one team I could think of today would have had him in there.
No, there's no team in any sport anywhere. Okay, take that back, maybe hockey. But, there's no way this guy would have played. You know, that would have been it. He would have been done. You know, with the way things go now, hell, he may have been questionable for the next season.
Yeah, for sure. But you're right about hockey, by the way. That's definitely the exception to the norm.
So, yeah, I mean, those guys are just, you know, out of control. So, you know, with the things they play through and play with and, you know, yeah, all that stuff. I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, they don't really count. But
Look what happened to Keith in the playoffs. Remember that? What happened to Keith in the playoffs? A few years ago, he had what, 6 or 7 teeth knocked out during the game, and they gave him a little Novocaine. I'm ready to go for the next period. Let's start playing, boys.
Yeah, stitched him up and sent him back out.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
No other sport would do that.
No, God, no.
Maybe rugby, right? Rugby is a pretty tough sport.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know too much about the rugby leagues, but yeah, that stuff wouldn't surprise me. You know, they're out there hitting without pads. So.
Yeah, those guys are crazy, insane. But that's interesting to see if Durant will actually wind up playing in games 3 and 4 or not.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, just kind of, kind of where we're at with it. It's like, well, you know, what's his, you know, what's going to be his decision? And, you know, it's interesting because obviously it's strategic as much as it is anything else for him right now. You know, because if he does come back and they lose, you know, that's a whole different can of worms. But if he comes back and they win, you know, then he, you know, he, again, like I said, he's the hero. So it's a weird, kind of a weird spot for him. And, you know, obviously he's going to get a gigantic contract in the offseason from somebody.
Yeah, for sure. And you think it's all predicated on who wins game number 2? For example, if Golden State wins to equalize a series, maybe he'll be out again for 2 more games. However, if they go down 0-2, maybe they're going to have to say, let's see if he can suck it up, and they'll have to play games 3 and 4 and beyond.
So, yeah, you do wonder, you know, now I actually wonder how much influence teams actually have in all this when it comes to, deciding. Because, I mean, I remember, you know, just with Kawhi Leonard last year with the Spurs, they thought he was ready to play, and his doctor said no, he wasn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a big thing, and you know, you kind of wonder how much you're going to listen to a team. And I mean, I understand these guys' positions. If you've ever been through workman's comp, like I had to do once when I actually slipped and fell at work and hurt my knee. The doctors they use obviously are going to support whatever view they have. So I can definitely understand why, you know, these guys do this at obviously a much higher level than I did. But, you know, it's just weird that it seems, you know, like I hear these injuries and, you know, even if you take baseball, I mean, a guy has Tommy John and he's automatically out for a year plus. where
yeah,
guys
to
come
year.
Back to the school.
Yeah, other than the hockey, you would think that today's athletes seem to be a lot more brittle than the athletes, say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it just gets baffling to me at this point. I mean, you know, you look at it where DeMarcus Cousins, who has just had an incredibly serious injury, you know, is working his rear end off to get back because he's never played in the finals. He wants to play in the finals. And, you know, you got the guy like Kevin Durant, whose injury didn't look as serious.
No,
but
that's true.
You know, he's still out.
Yeah, to me that was the most puzzling aspect about his injury because, as you pointed out, it doesn't seem to be all that serious. And you would think that for the finals especially, he would gut it up and say, I'm ready to go, put me in. But that's not his mindset just yet.
No, you know, and that's, you know, again, that's not the makeup of today's player. You know, it's not about team, no matter what these guys say. You know, it's not team first anymore. With the kind of money these guys make, it's me first and everybody else second. So
yeah, it's a whole different philosophy than it was years ago. And I guess primarily, as you pointed out, it's because of the extraordinary large salaries that these guys get.
Yeah, because I mean, think about it. I mean, well, especially you. You know, you were a numbers guy for a long time with your job. Imagine if you're Kevin Durant, and you come back and say you're 85%, and you get hurt, and now you're actually in jeopardy of where maybe you need surgery. Maybe the calf muscle has to be repaired, and they have to go in. How much money did you just cost yourself on the free agent market?
Yeah. And when you think of when you think about it in those terms, well, you maybe the athlete has some. He's maybe to a certain extent he's covering himself, but it's certainly not, as you pointed out before, it's certainly not team first anymore in sports.
So yeah, and then the NBA as a whole. I emailed you about this yesterday. I hate this so much. I mean, the game started at 8 p.m. our time, which oddly meant it started at 9 o'clock Toronto time, and they were hosting. So,
yeah.
You know, and I get it. It's their first game, so it really doesn't matter much. It's the first time they've ever been to the NBA Finals. So, you know, I'm sure everybody in Toronto took today off. But, you know, think about that. I mean, if you're a NBA fan on the East Coast, you had to stay up till almost 2 in the morning to get the end of this game. And now, you know, I just heard again somebody mentioned right before we came on air how ratings are down. Are they doing it to themselves with these start times?
It could very well be. And I don't think it got over that late, though, 2 in the morning, because if it started at 9, you figure it would get over around midnight.
Well, I think it ended about 12:30 our time, so it was, you know, 1:30,
okay.
A little after 1:30 in the morning on the East Coast.
So the game started eight. You're saying the game took 4.5 hours?
Well, no, it would have started at 9 on the East Coast. Remember, they're an hour ahead.
9 o'clock there.
So, like, for
yeah,
us,
but
for us it ended, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It ended at 12:30. But, you know.
Right. So. Yeah, it's, and the commercials are unbelievable, too. I mean, I turned it on a couple of times, and they just seem never ending, and that has to affect the flow of the game too.
Oh yeah, that's got to be a killer. You know, I mean, imagine if you're a player who just found a shooting rhythm and you get a television timeout, and you're not back for 3 or 4 minutes. You know, you could just as quickly have lost that touch, you know, that you finally found.
Yeah, it would certainly hurt the team that's on a run. The team is making a significant run, and then there's a TV timeout, and the run is done. I mean, it's not going to be the same when the game resumes.
Right. You know, well, that's like I said, when I turned it on and there were still 8.5 minutes left, there was no way I was going to sit through that because I know how long this takes. You know, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not that interested in it. I mean, yeah, I want to know who wins or loses, but I don't like the style of the NBA play as it is now, so I'm not going to sit there and, you know, I mean, you figure the last 8.5 minutes probably took 30 minutes to play at least. You know, maybe a little less. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but, yeah,
you'd have to think it would be an endless run to the free throw line, too, in those games.
Well, you know, luckily we actually didn't have that. They were talking about it on air. You know, they were like, okay, it's time for the Warriors to start fouling. And then Kyle Lowry hit a three, and I think Golden State came down and missed, and Toronto got the rebound, and they didn't foul. And I was like, oh, thank God they're not going to just walk guys to the free throw line. So they, you know, Golden State had kind of decided that I think they were down 8 or 9 maybe by then. So they decided it just wasn't worth it.
That's a good point. And by the way, when you say they were down 8 or 9, there's a big difference between 8 or 9 and 8 or 9. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes a lead like that is insurmountable. Other times in the NBA, it could be over with in an instant. But when a team consistently keeps that 8 or 9 point edge, that is going to be the other team might as well just hang it up. They're done.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Sunday the game starts at 7, so at least they're an hour earlier. You know, for everybody in Toronto, maybe Toronto can get something done on Monday. The game will end a little earlier, but you know, the other big thing is, you know, that guy from Toronto, was it Pasquale? I believe his last name is pronounced Siakam. You know, I mean, he went crazy. I believe he scored a career high. You know, and you got to kind of wonder if that's going to, you know, is he going to continue to play like that? I mean, I seriously doubt that, you know, we're going to see him, you know, rack up these kind of points or these kind of numbers. He had 32 points last night. The only guy who outscored him was 34.
Well, sometimes an unheralded player will step it up in a important playoff game, but as you pointed out, can he do it again and again for the duration of the series? It does seem unlikely.
Yeah, you know, that's the tough thing. You know, I mean, I believe he might even be a rookie, so that's, you know, that's even more to kind of ask out of the guy. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? You know, how it's going to go. And, oh, DeMarcus Cousins did play last night. He was limited to 8 minutes, no surprise there, with the injuries he's had. Sadly, he didn't make any of his shots. He did hit 3 of his 4 free throws. But so, you know, at least he's back in.
Yeah, we'll see if he can step it up for the next game. And this, of course, was a very important game in terms of history because it was the first game in NBA history that a playoff game took place outside the United States.
So yeah, the first time the Raptors have been there. So, you know, and now what's your, you know, I know you have all his albums. What's your whole thought on this Drake thing? Does it bother you as much as, like, I don't even care. I mean, it's kind of humorous to me that people think he actually has effect on games and players, but I was interested to know how you feel about him. Not his music, by the way.
Yeah, of course, you know, I'm not a huge fan of that, but I don't think it makes any difference to the outcome of the game, and I think that's just some hype that they come up with, and just don't see it affecting any kind of a moment or momentum in the game. And what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I don't think, you know, I mean, you're talking about guys who are professional athletes. They, you know, this is probably fun to them. You know, I mean, the only thing I will give the guy credit for is the fact that he managed to find a Del Curry Toronto Raptors jersey. Del, of course, is Stephen Curry's father, who played in the league many years ago. So I did get a kick out of that, but –
These guys are pros. Come on, it's not going to affect them. You know, it's like when the fans will flutter those handkerchiefs and different things when they attempt free throws, as if it's going to bother them one way or the other.
I don't like the fact that he gets a little too close to the Raptors bench and he's a little too close to like being on the floor. But then again, if I was a player and I had the opportunity, I would probably run him down just to see what the refs would do. Let him get too close to the sidelines and I would just take him out. And it would be like, hey, you got a fan on the floor. You know, what are you doing? That would be dirty, but that's how I, especially when it comes to basketball.
I'm sure you've had that experience when you wrestle too. I mean, when a fan tried to get involved in the match, and it never seemed to wind up too favorably for the fan.
No. So that's the thing you got to forget. I mean, you look at guys and he's a basketball player. He's not tough. Yeah, but you got to remember these guys are in peak physical condition and they have teammates. So,
Yeah. And these are big humans. I mean, these guys are not small guys by any stretch of the imagination. As you pointed out, they're jacked. Yeah. What an average guy, 6'4", 6'5", weighing 230, 240, no body fat. I wouldn't like the fans' chances if they got involved.
Yeah, that's always funny because, you always hear Steph Curry referred to as being small. And I think even he is 6'2 or 6'3. So it's kind of funny that, that's small. It's not like he's Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, but that is relatively small by NBA standards. When you think of how it's turned into a big man's game over the years. And sure, there are guys who make it under 6 feet, but very, very rarely anymore.
It's only a big man's game if you can shoot. So
if you can shoot. And hey, some of these 7 foot guys can actually shoot the threes. Some of these guys, 6'11", 7 feet, they can shoot the threes.
That's how it is. But even more stupidity. If you saw any of the highlights of the game, there was a spot where Steph Curry walks by Drake and he had something in his hair, so Drake pulled it out. Oddly, now there are idiots willing to pay up to $100,000 for what Drake pulled out of his hair. Do you think Drake kept that?
Yeah, for a souvenir. I don't think he needs the money to put it on eBay. I don't know what. That was a crazy thing. I mean, pointless thing to do, and I don't understand it. But hey, the fans seem to love it, so at least the Toronto fans do.
But if you guys want to, if you want to waste your money, I got some nice property in Florida that you could try to develop, or maybe this bridge in Brooklyn you'd like to buy. I'd gladly, gladly sell
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That.
Well. Dirt cheap, and
right.
Yeah. If a guy from IRS calls me, I'll be sure to give him my social security number too, and pay my $3,000 or $4,000 that they want from me.
Yeah. So yes, don't forget to send those Nigerian princes that money so they can get their stuff released and send you half of it.
Fortunately now, I think most of those things go directly to junk mail, and they bypass a lot of them, so I don't even see those things anymore.
Sadly, the new one is
actually,
the phone.
New one? Yeah, there's just so many.
Yeah, you haven't received one of those calls yet?
And the latest one, by the way, and this is not the latest one, is the Police Benevolent Association calling you for donations. Support the police.
Yeah. I got a call from a guy with an incredibly thick accent who I couldn't understand, telling me he worked for the IRS and there was a problem with my return and I needed to send him, I can't remember what he was asking for, it was like $2,000 or $2,500, And when I told him I had my taxes professionally done and he would need to contact them, he hung up on me. So.
Yeah, of course. But you'd be amazed at how much income that generates for these people over the years. It's just staggering.
But before we get too far off topic, the other NBA story that I found really interesting, the Houston Rockets, again, they, got bumped by the Warriors out of the playoffs, but they, good team, a lot of good talent on there. I think it was last week there was a report that came out that said every one of their players and future draft picks is available via trade. Then they let go, I think, the entire assistant coaching staff. And now their head coach, Mike D'Antoni, is in the last year of his contract. He just broke off talks because he didn't like what the Rockets were offering him. But what I found quite interesting is they offered him an incentive-based contract where he would receive, and I know the dollar offer was really low per year, so I can understand why maybe he turned that down, but the escalators where he would get $1 million every time they won a playoff series. Now, apparently this was insulting to him, and there's a lot of pundits on the air that I've heard just cry about this, and I can't believe the Rockets would do that to him. Isn't this what he's supposed to do, is win playoff series and championships, or am I reading
Absolutely. The
job description wrong?
That's a very interesting concept that they came up with, and when you think about it, maybe that's the way it should be. Maybe it should be, these coaches' salaries should be incentive-based to see if how far they can take a team to the playoffs, and that would maybe generate them more wins. Who knows? Maybe they would play a little tougher, the coach. Maybe the coach would make better decisions. But it'd be interesting to see if I don't think he's going to accept the deal. I would be surprised if he did.
No, he actually broke off negotiations, and the Rockets owner had a really funny line about it, talking about how he actually hopes that the Rockets win the championship, and D'Antoni is in the position, and remember, this guy's from Texas, folks, so don't freak out. He used the term, could hold the gun to his head for a bigger contract. And I thought that was a great perspective as an owner. like he was willing to, hey, go win a championship and I'll pay you.
Yeah, it's pretty amusing to see that, and I'm wondering now if they're going to wind up getting it. Well, he does have one more year going, right? And will they be looking elsewhere after that 1 year is over with? And, Houston has a good team.
Yeah.
And Golden State could be on their way down now. They could finally be showing signs of weakening a little bit. They're not youngsters anymore, some of these guys. And maybe Houston can actually step it up and win the Western Conference coming up next season. I could see it possibly happening.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting because obviously, the Warriors, one way or the other, the Warriors are going to lose Kevin Durant. He's not re-signing with them. They do have some other free agents, and you wonder if maybe a Klay Thompson takes a better money offer somewhere else just to cash in, how much that would deplete them. Obviously they would still have Curry and Draymond Green, but, that would be a big loss. And Thompson is the best defender on the team. So, it changes rapidly. And, one way the NBA is going to set it up for the Lakers to improve. So the Western Conference is going to be tougher. They already did with the draft lottery. So, some other things are going to happen.
Yeah, as we talked about before, sports is cyclical. Teams will be on top 4 or 5 years, but ultimately you're going to go down. You're not going to win the title all the time, and you're going to have to go through a phase in which you have to maybe even possibly rebuild. And I'm not saying that they're going to be in a rebuilding stage, but I'm saying that it's not a guarantee anymore. It's not a given anymore, as far as I'm concerned, that they're going to be winning the Western Conference for the next 2 or 3 years without thinking about it.
No, you know, they've been on a good run. I mean, this is, what, 5 NBA finals in a row. So, you know, they've been a good team for a while now. And, you know, like you said, sooner or later, with the NBA, though, I do think, you know, it's so weird where guys will take less money to go win a title. And, you know, like I was wondering if, okay, say Durant does walk away like we know, would a guy like Jimmy Butler join the Warriors on maybe a 1 or 2 year deal for less money to try to win a title?
Possible. It's possible. He's shown doesn't show too much allegiance to the teams he's been with the last few years. He's moved around fairly rapidly.
You know, he is one of the guys being recruited by LeBron James. James has already spoken to him and Kawhi Leonard, who will be a free agent when the NBA Finals ends, both about coming to L.A. Again, I don't understand how this is tampering, but the NBA is never going to charge LeBron with tampering. So he can pretty much do whatever he wants, go get out on a banana boat like him and some of his other buddies do and hang out. So,
well, I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those two guys signing with Los Angeles. I think Butler might do that. Because, you know, the NBA
Kyrie Irving is in the mix to end up there, too. You know, that's really close to being a done deal. So you just got to, you know, I'm sure obviously we got to wait till free agency actually starts. But, you know, it's been pretty clear. You know, him and LeBron have been hugging and kissing on social media.
Right.
So yeah, I'll be kind of shocked if Kyrie Irving doesn't end up in a Laker uniform.
Well, you know, the NBA wants the Lakers to be in the playoffs, especially with LeBron there.
Oh, yeah.
And a huge market, and they got a big fan base there and always seem to draw well, and they want that team to compete, not to be excluded from the playoffs like surprisingly they were this year. No one really expected that. They didn't expect them to go far in the playoffs, but they all expected them to make the playoffs at least.
Yeah, I fully expected them to get in. I didn't expect them to win anything, but I really thought they would get in. The other humorous story, you know, the Pelicans won the NBA draft lottery, and, you know, they have a new GM. So I thought it was great that the guy, he wanted to meet with Anthony Davis. You know, Anthony Davis has really voiced his displeasure out of getting out of there. He wants to go. You know, he was fed up. But, you know, with the number one pick, maybe that changes things a little bit. So the new general manager asks for a meeting. Davis shows up with his agent, who, of course, is Rich Paul from Clutch Sports, which LeBron James owns, and basically tells the guy that this isn't going to happen. So I thought it was kind of humorous that they have this gigantic effect on the NBA landscape. And I don't think that's good for the sport at all.
It's not. And Davis's deal, he's not a free agent next season. Isn't he still signed with the Pelicans?
He's got 1 year left. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
And they do not, and according to what the owner said, I think I've read this recently, there's no way in hell they're going to let him go for the last year of his contract.
You know, they don't want to, but, you know, of course it gets to the point where, you know, do you let him walk away for nothing, or do you go out and you actually get something for him? So,
yeah, that's another consideration. And if he's not happy there, but he should be a little bit more gung-ho about playing for them next season since they got the number one pick and a superstar who supposedly can't miss.
You know, the odd thing is I honestly am wondering how much input he actually has on any of this, because obviously he's a Clutch Sports puppet. You know, is what he really is. That's just kind of how it's going to go, and, you know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens if the owner sticks to his guns and saying, I don't care what deal they want to make, and I'm not trading him now. I'm not going to make a move with him now. He's going to fulfill the last year of the contract, and even though if we get nothing in return, when he becomes a free agent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it could be, you know, it would be interesting to see an owner hold that, you know, that tough line. But I, you know, I think in the end he's going to get, you know, he'll be dealt. You know, I don't know. I don't know when. I do assume he'll end up going to the Lakers eventually. You know, just depending on what kind of deal they can offer. And, you know, like I said, as soon as the draft lottery happened, you know, I figured it would be the number four pick, you know, with all the Lakers young players that LeBron wanted to get rid of last year. And then possibly, you know, maybe, you know, some other picks here or there, you know, some other number ones down the line.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
prior to their selection as the number one in the lottery, do the fans in New Orleans support the team? Do they have capacity crowds for every game?
Yeah, that I don't know. I'm not quite sure, you know, where they sit.
But they are now, of course. Now it's a no question they're going to be selling out their home games next season.
So yeah, who knows what they'll actually end up doing, but you know, we'll see how these things go, but. Yeah, you know, it won't shock the way these things are set up and, you know, all the other stuff that goes with it, you know.
Well, June 20th is a big night, huh? That's when the official draft starts.
Does it? I don't even know. With those guys, I just, you know, the more it happens, just the more laughable it becomes to me. And sometimes I just feel like, I must have blinders on or I'm the only one who can see it, I mean, obviously, you know, James is going to get to build the team and win championships with it probably, you know, because he'll be able to recruit all the guys he wants and they'll want, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to come play with LeBron James? So, you know, he'll start winning titles again, and we'll, you know, then all of a sudden it'll be, well, he's the greatest of all time. Well, no, he's not, because he had to go out and, you know, he couldn't win a title until he actively went with Miami, you know, to bring guys in to play with. You know, the one in Cleveland he really shouldn't have won. The NBA did him some giant favors officiating-wise to win that one. You know, and now he's out on his own again, and he can't even get a team into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So...
He's a heck of a player, no question about it, but I would not call him the GOAT, which, of course, is the acronym for greatest of all time.
So
I can think of four or five others that are better. Although I can't take anything away from him. He's a great athlete.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely a great player. You know, there's no doubt about it, and I get it. You know, you want, you know, I mean, if you're covering him, especially from, you know, a TNT or a Mickey Mouse Network standpoint, you've got all this money invested in the NBA. You know, you're going to shove him down our throat as much as we can, and, you know, luckily there's enough people out there who are gullible enough to buy it. You know, and the NBA is an incredibly relatable sport for kids because, you know, what do you need? You need a ball and a court.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get into. You know, it's like soccer. You know, soccer, you need a ball and a field, or in some cases, the kids play in my parking lot on the concrete. So, you know, it's a lot easier than being a football or hockey or baseball where you need, you know, much more expensive equipment. So, you know, it's incredibly relatable, but, you know, sometimes I think they take advantage of that by trying to push stuff that's just not, you know, not correct, and that bothers me.
Yeah, and it should. And yeah, I think hockey is quite costly to if you're an amateur hockey player. That is not a cheap sport if you want to really be a full-time active participant. Quite costly. probably more so than football, I would imagine. Definitely more so than baseball.
Well, that, you know, hockey, when, you know, you're in those youth leagues, the only ice time you can get is like 5 in the morning. So not only do you have to pay the hundreds of dollars it costs to get gear, then you have to get up. You know, it's like, well, I got to get up at, you know, 4:30 or 5 in the morning or whatever.
Well, that shows your dedication, though. It does show your dedication. Playing one of these youth hockey leagues.
So, yeah, it's definitely, and I know, you know, I was trying to remember when I coached the Little League, I had a couple kids on my team from a family of, like, I think it was 4 or 5, and they all played hockey. So you can imagine how expensive that was. And, you know, they were getting up basically the middle of the night. So.
Yeah, in recent years, it seems like soccer has been a very popular sport for kids to play. But somehow, even with all that popularity, it never seems to have caught on in the United States like it has in other countries.
No, well, you know, here it's always kind of just a, you know, secondary sport because you don't see it, you know, on a major network. I mean, I know there's a lot of networks. And you know, there's a lot of soccer coverage out there, but it just doesn't get the coverage that, you know, basketball, baseball, football do.
No,
you know, hell,
no.
it may even get more coverage than hockey. And that's it.
I remember when the Sting was had an indoor and an outdoor team, and they had some big crowds at that time when they played at the Chicago Stadium. So they drew quite a bit for their indoor hockey league, but that doesn't seem to be happening anymore. I know they have the Chicago Fire now, and there doesn't seem to be too much in the way of being a very popular sport here in Chicago.
Well, you know, I mean, it should get a little more attention here because we do have the Women's World Cup coming up, and, you know, the U.S. women are actually a lot better than the U.S. men. So that may draw a little bit of, you know, a little bit more attention than normal to the sport. But I don't know.
Yeah, and they are very competitive. The women, they really feel a strong team, always seem to be in contention.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, they're much better than the men. The men, you know, I mean, the men were good quite a few years ago, but yeah, the women have been consistent, and they even won the World Cup. It wasn't all that long ago, I don't believe. So
not many years ago. That's right. So, it is a popular sport, and once again, just like basketball, I don't think it's all that expensive like hockey to be a participant.
You know, now humorously, what I did find out is the more you move up in soccer, when you start playing, not so much, I guess it would be kind of like comparable to AAU for basketball. It's actually like $400 or $500 a season to play in those leagues. And I was just kind of like, okay, well, and all you get is the uniform. You get a pair of shorts and a shirt. I'm like, wait, I got to pay you $400 or $500. So my kid gets a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. I guess when you get up, you know, you move up in competition, that's how it goes.
So the kids that aren't in a really economically affluent family are not afforded the opportunity to play because of the cost involved.
I don't know if, you know, they do scholarships or, you know, like in Little League, I know we had what they called hardships where, you know, if the parents couldn't afford the full fee, you know, they were allowed to kind of pay whatever they could afford. So I don't know if they do things like that or how it works out, but I kind of got a feeling if there was a great player from a poor family, they would find a way to get him in.
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
So, You know, of course, that's just me. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying they're doing anything illegal. I'm just saying they would find a way to, you know, to get that kid in the league.
Yeah, but you have to be an exceptional player to be afforded that advantage, though.
Yeah, at that level, you would have to be exceptional.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
definitely.
You know, in some cases, I've seen you know, kids from you know, in Little League, I've seen kids get poached from like one league to another because, you know, magically he had an aunt that lived on this side of the boundary or something. So.
Well, you know what happened in our Chicago area Little League team a number of years ago when they wound up losing in the, I don't know if Taiwan beat them or Japan in the finals, but they found out that quite a few of those kids didn't live in that area and they had to disqualify them.
Yeah, you know, and that's no surprise. I mean, from coaching Little League all the years I did, that happens all the time. You know, I mean, remember the New York team who had the phenomenal pitcher who turned out to be like 14 and he was pitching against 11 and 12 year olds? So,
They can pull any kind of shenanigans they want to as long as they can get away with it.
So yeah, the, you know, and that's kind of the name of the game with that when it comes to that. I mean, you know, what's the old saying? Win if you can, lose it. What? Yeah. Win if you can, lose if you must. Cheat.
Yes.
You know, and that literally could be
the
Yeah, you know, that could be the little league motto. I've seen it done. You know, I've actually helped kids do it. You know, a kid wanted to switch leagues, and I said, well, sign up with, you know, he had a brother who lived in the boundary he wanted to play in. Well, sign up using his address. So.
And it worked. He was never found out, right?
We didn't do a championship thing. You know, that's when it really gets screwed. I mean, when it's just your local leagues, there's going to be somebody here or there who might care, but not at the level where, you're looking at it going, hey, wait a minute, these guys are on TV, and I know this kid. I know where this kid lives. So.
Yeah, I was actually surprised about that Chicago team when they discovered all these shenanigans, and that was long after the championship game had been played, maybe a year or two down the line. I mean, at that point, who really cares? I mean, it's done with already.
You know how it is. There's always that one vindictive person out there, you know, or, you know, to be honest, it may have been a kid who just accidentally said something to the wrong person.
Yeah, it could be too. Because everybody was rooting for that team. I mean, a lot of low-income kids playing for the championship, and the whole neighborhood rooting them on, and it was an exciting time.
You look at it where, you know, I mean, we see it all the time here in Chicago, and I'm guessing it happens everywhere else. You know, look at how some of these kids end up on some of these high school basketball teams where they don't live anywhere close to the school, but they're on,
we've talked about that several times, and what really infuriates me is that some kid will come in from Oklahoma. Oh, I'm going to live in Chicago for my sophomore year in high school. And this seems to happen all the time now, and I still can't understand how they get away with it.
No, well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, do you want to waste the time and effort to run it down? You know, is it really worth it?
Yeah, it really does bother me with high school because you figure these kids, are they actually getting an education when they move from another state or another district, and or are they majoring in basketball?
Yeah, you know, I think it's very much like college. You know, I mean, we just saw all these freshmen enter the draft. You know, there's none of them left in school right now. You know, like Zion Williamson still isn't enrolled in Duke. You know, as soon as the basketball season ended, I'm sure he left. You know, yeah, R.J. Barrett the same way. You know, any of these guys who are going to be drafted and are guaranteed to be drafted, they're not in school anymore.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm always chagrined. We've talked about this also. When I hear some of these guys interviewed and I say, did you actually go to college for a year? And it has to be embarrassing for wherever they went when these guys conduct an interview.
I don't even think they care. I think they're just counting their money
from,
you know, the sales they got while he was there or, you know, the NCAA banner they got to have that he helped them win. So.
Yeah, I've seen some interviews recently, in the last month or two, from a couple of NBA players. I think maybe one of them may have been from the Bulls. And reading it, I just shudder as to how poor.
It's
embarrassing. I'm really, truly. But they don't care.
No. Not at all. But, all right, before I forget, I want to get into this. We got to get our – got to get Stu's picks rolling, and I believe looking at it here last week, you had 5 picks, and you hit on 4 of them. So you're doing pretty well. 19-9 overall. But we start off as always. We have, you know, the Cubs with the 3-game series starting off against the Cardinals. Now here's the pitching matchups they have listed. Tonight it's Yu Darvish against Miles Mikolas. Tomorrow it's Jose Quintana against Jack Flaherty. And then Sunday, to wrap up the series, it's Cole Hamels against Adam Wainwright. So the first question is always is, are the Cubs winning this series against what is really a struggling St. Louis team?
Well, I thought – I already gave a little thought to this right now, and I'm saying that the Cubs will not win the series.
Okay. So obviously that means you don't have them sweeping. So we move on to the next series. Just happens to be a one gamer. So all you have to do is tell me on Monday, June 3rd, the Cubs are hosting the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It's John Lester against former Cub great Trevor Cahill. All you got to tell me is, are the Cubs winning this game?
Yes. I do predict a Cub victory for Monday night.
And then we have your bonus pick. I'm going away from the team with the longest winning streak. I'm going to give you something else today because I'm interested in this one, and I know you've asked me about it a couple times through email. In this 3-game series with St. Louis that is in St. Louis, will Chris Bryant be hit by a pitch in the series?
I would say no, but I suspect that he will be roundly booed by the fans every time he comes to the plate.
Oh, yeah, you know he's going to get it. You know, and then the better he does, it's going to, you know, just continue to get worse for him. So.
Yeah, that's
kind of a silly
thing.
Even,
you know, think about it. It was supposed to be a comedy. It was a comedy show. It was hosted by Dempster, and it was supposed to be a tongue-in-cheek type thing, but evidently, Yachty didn't think so.
lucky for the Cubs that Yachty's not going to matter. He actually went on the IL today with, I believe, a strained thumb. So he will not be playing in this series and will probably miss the next few St. Louis series, which, you know, isn't good for a team that's really been scuffling like the Cardinals.
Certainly. Yeah, I didn't know if he wasn't in the lineup last night. I was going to ask you about that, but now I know now because, you know, whatever everything going on in baseball, I'm interested to find out that he will not be available for the series coming up.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, St. Louis did end their losing streak last night against Philadelphia, so they did get a win there. But, you know, they're 4-6 in their last 10 games, and believe it or not, they've actually fallen to under 500, you know, just a game under. But, you know, for a while there, they were the talk of the division, and everybody was kind of like, oh, yeah, the Cardinals are going to be there. And, you know, obviously it's still too early to be like, oh, yeah, they're done. But, man, they've hit a bad patch and just can't seem to get it righted. And hopefully this weekend isn't when they do it.
Well, I predict that after Sunday night, St. Louis will be once again a 500 team.
we'll have to see how that works out. But, you know, all I need is Cole Hamels to have a good start Sunday, because he scuffled earlier and we've got him in our fantasy league. So
it's difficult to have any confidence in the Cubs winning tonight because of the pitching matchup.
Yeah.
Anybody versus Darvish, I mean, would give me room, give me extreme worry.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily for the Cubs, Miles Mikolas hasn't been fantastic either. You know, for the Cardinals, he's had his issues, and I know he's given up quite a few home runs. So, you know, you wonder if, you know, maybe the Cubs will be able to flex a little power tonight. But, yeah,
their ballpark is not as easy to hit home runs as Miller Park in Houston.
Well, to be fair, just about every ballpark is easy to hit home runs. And nowadays I saw a fly ball go out. I forgot which game I was watching. Guy hit a fly ball to right field that went out. I was like, oh, that's an out. Oh, no, it's not. It's landing in the stands. So these ballparks are jokes now with the way they have them set up. And, you know, there's probably going to be 10 guys who hit 50 bombs this year just because baseball's an embarrassment and they want the offense. So
yeah, the ball certainly seems to be juiced this season. Assuming that the players haven't found a new solution to performance drugs that aren't being caught by their various tests that they do.
But here I got the lineups for you here tonight. We have Kyle Schwarber leading off for the Cubs in left. Chris Bryant plays third, bats second. Anthony Rizzo's third at first. Javi Baez is cleaning up at short. Jason Hayward hits fifth and right. Addison Russell gets a start. He hits sixth at second. Victor Caratini catching tonight, so no Wilson Contreras. He hits seventh. Alberto Almora is going to play center and hit eighth. And, of course, Darvish is pitching. The Cardinals sticking with Matt Carpenter, even though I think he's hitting about 200. He's leading off at third. Paul DeJong is second at short. Paul Goldschmidt hits third at first. Marcelo Zuna hits fourth and left. Matt Wieters is catching in place of Yachty. He'll hit fifth. Dexter Fowler hits sixth and right. Colton Wong is seventh and second. Harrison Bader hits eighth and center. And then, of course, their pitcher is Miles Mikolas, who's hitting ninth. So,
yeah, interesting lineup. And Fowler is hitting a little better than he did last year, but he certainly hasn't hit as well as he did when he played for the Cubs for those two seasons. I think he's hitting around 250. And by the way, are you surprised about Russell turning it around? And I think he's close to around 280, 285 now. He's been on a roll the last few games.
Knew he would hit once he started getting some at-bats. It was just the process of, you know, managing to get him the at-bats. And then, Madden just does some of the dumbest things. You know, he went 3-for-4 the one day, and it looked like he was getting his groove. And then the next day, he's not in the starting lineup.
Crazy.
It's kind of like.
I would install him as a regular second baseman, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there's really no reason he shouldn't. I mean, is it that important to get Daniel Descalzo those at bats? He's the utility guy.
He's a utility guy. And despite the fact that he's a left-hander and they could use him against a right-hander pitcher, he hasn't proved that even he could hit against right-handers here. And he's, 200, 205? Very, very low. And I think Russell should be the everyday second baseman.
Russell
can come in all the time,
far and away the better defender. So.
No question about it.
That it's time for the season to take off already. But remember that we are still off on Sundays as just a fan of the season. Remember, the podcast is available for you to go and listen to anytime you want.